Hello, and welcome to the Mindful Teacher K-12 podcast. My name is April Hughes, and I am the Mindful Teacher. My goal for starting this podcast really was to provide a way for teachers to have access to readily available activities and strategies that they could implement into their daily lives and into their classroom easily and quickly without any need for research or investigation. I am a certified yoga teacher, and through that experience and through my experience of being in the classroom for 18 years, I have discovered a plethora of strategies to help with my classroom management and help manage my own stress and to promote overall wellness within my classroom to my students, and to do that effectively and efficiently in a way that builds community. So this season, in season two, my goal is to give a takeaway strategy for teachers to easily implement into their lives and into their classrooms so that they can be happy and healthy and stay sane one podcast at a time. Hello, Mindful Teacher listeners. This is April Hughes coming to you with another episode of the Mindful Teacher K-12. As we wrap up the month of October, I thought that a very good and fitting theme for today's topic is the rest and reset. So we're going to talk about how do we rest and reset after one of the toughest months of the teaching year, and I'm going to give you some tips and tricks on how to do that. And we're also going to talk about some ways to bring more mindfulness into your classroom. So I have the privilege of presenting at the middle school association conference on Saturday, and I'm going to be talking about building a mindful classroom. So as I was preparing for that presentation that's going to be on Saturday, I thought if I could give five big tips that the teachers could take away from my 1 hour session, what would they be? And so am I going to summarize all of the important things about building a mindful classroom in 1 hour? So I came up with my top five must-dos to build a mindful classroom. And number one is student buy-in. So some students don't know what mindfulness means, or they think they know what mindfulness means. And so you have to kind of educate them on the term first before you can start the practice of being mindful. And then I thought it was important to talk about having students come up with their own definition of what they think mindfulness is, because some students, depending on their background and culture, might think that it has a religious base, but in fact, the way that we think about mindfulness today does not have a background in religion. And then I said, number two, it's really important to embed it in the curriculum and daily practice. So what does this mean and what does it look like? If you are going to build a mindful classroom, it's really important that students know that there's going to be some consistency and procedure and that it's part of everyday practice. Because if it seems like an afterthought, they're gonna know, and then you're not gonna have much buy-in. Number three is consistency. You need to be consistent when you're implementing your mindful practices. Oh, there's my dogs that love to make noise. Hi, doggies. It's snowing here in Colorado, so they can't go outside. Sometimes I think it would be so much easier to record my podcast if my dogs would just cooperate. Anyway, moving on, besides being consistent and implementing and doing the same things every day, you need to be authentic. So it doesn't matter what age kids are, they can detect and sense inauthenticity. So if you're a person that is just like, oh, I should do mindfulness in my classroom because that's like a buzzword and it is going to look good and sound good, then, and you don't have any buy-in yourself, the students aren't going to have buy-in either. It's like one of those things where you can't really fake it till you make it, because the students are really going to latch onto that and it's not going to work. You're not going to build a culture of mindfulness in your classroom. So you have to be authentic, and within being authentic is you have to believe in the theory or the philosophy or the big idea of mindfulness yourself. And then number five, I thought was really important, was to be patient, because it's not going to happen overnight. You do not build a culture of mindfulness in your classroom in a week. It takes time. We're probably about 11 weeks into the school year now, and my students know the expectations for mindful practice. They're not flabbergasted when I ask them to meditate. They know how we're doing our anxiety release right before taking a big test. So they're not shocked when I'm putting the Calm app on and we're taking 3 minutes to de-stress before a test. But if it's like something you do once a month, they're not going to get that. And it's just going to be pointless. The point will be moot, as they say. So it's really important that you are having self buy-in and student buy-in, as a recap, embed it into your curriculum or your daily routine. Be consistent, be authentic, and be patient. And I will add a six on to be flexible, because things will come up and sometimes we need to stop and do some mindfulness when maybe you didn't plan it during a brain break. But if it's going to be authentic, times are going to arise where you're just going to have to stop and implement it yourself or remind students about implementing it. So those are my top six of how to build a mindful classroom culture in 3 minutes or less. So that's kind of my practice for my upcoming presentation. So let's talk about you. Wherever you might be at this point in time, I want you to take a big, deep inhale in through your nose. One, two, three, and then slowly exhale out of your nose for a count of four. So I want you to do that. And if you still feel really stressed out, do it again. Sometimes on my exhales, I like to make noise and it's fun. So one little insert that has been bugging me, because it's the whole month of October and it's almost gone by, is it is Breast Awareness Month, Cancer Awareness Month, however you want to phrase it. So in the practice of being mindful and in the spirit of self-care, if you are a woman and you're listening to this podcast, I want you to make sure that you do a breast check this month. And remember that early detection does save lives. So if you haven't taken time to do that, I want to just remind you to do that because that is part of self-care. And you cannot take care of anyone else if you are not taking care of yourself. So just a reminder that we're doing that on a monthly basis, not just in the month of October. So we're going to move on to how do we rest and how do we reset for the next month and a half or 7 weeks until it's winter break. So we really need to think about a few things. And I just received in the mail yesterday the self-care issue from Yoga Journal. And the topic, like I said, is rest and reset. And they have 46 ways to find balance and serenity in there, which is awesome. We don't have time to talk about all of those things, but what kind of popped out at me was Restorative Retreat, and this is by Judith Hansen Lassiter, who has her PhD. She also is a publisher, I believe, in this yoga magazine. And she has an article in here that talks about this topic. So she starts it off, and I think it's really eloquent. So I want you to kind of picture this in your mind, or if you're listening to the podcast and you're not driving, you can close your eyes. And I want you to think about when you were growing up, I bet you had a special place of refuge you could go to for comfort. I had a favorite swing in my backyard that I would settle into when I felt the need for solitude. There, I found sanctuary in the fluid act of swaying back and forth, the cool breeze on my face as I floated through the air, up and down, back and forth. And she goes on to talk about why people take up the practice of yoga. And I would encourage you to read this article in the Yoga Journal. If you don't already get it, maybe you could get it. It's really awesome. But basically, she's talking about how we rest and how we restore. So when we think about meditation, that's really kind of what we're doing is we're going to our happy place, or we're going to think about a time where we were really happy or we were really relaxed. And sometimes this means that we create an image in our mind or we reflect back to a time and a place that we felt accepted, we felt safe, we felt stress-free. And that looks different for everybody, but this can happen in a very, very short amount of time. So when I talk about setting aside 3 minutes before a major test for your students for them to reduce their anxiety and refocus and reset, these are things that you can do yourself. And I'm often preaching this, but I want you to think about taking a minute, whether this is at your lunch break or it's a minute when you first wake up or it's a minute right before bed, to think about things or a place or an experience or an image that is going to bring you total relaxation, where you feel safe, where you don't feel any stress, and create your own little bubble for 1 minute. Of course, I would like you to do this longer, but some people have a really hard time for 3 minutes. So I want you to set your timer for however long that you think that you can do this. And I think that what the article says and what I really agree with is this this is going to change your perception about who you think you are. And you are paradoxically changed back into who you have always been. So she, this is like a quote from the article, but I think about the fact that remembering back to a childhood memory that we really like is and feel safe about is going to change our perception. And it's also going to change our mindset, which is important to change our mindset if we're feeling stressed, because the only way we stop feeling stressed is to refocus our energy somewhere else. So I want you to think about, what is your favorite childhood memory? And the reason I want you to think about that, and I want you to write it down and even maybe journal about it, because when you're feeling a lot of anxiety and you're feeling a lot of stress, you can go to that place for a minute or 2 minutes, and it's going to be very vivid for you because you're taking the time to reflect and you're taking the time to remember all of those important elements that were present when you were having that happy moment. And if it's not from your childhood, then think of something more recent that has brought you peace and acceptance and safety, and journal about that, write it down, so that when you need to rest and reset, that you have that image and that vivid memory easily accessible in your mind. Because sometimes we only have a minute to change our mindset between our very busy classroom schedules. And instead of, you know, losing our temper or saying something we're going to regret, it's much easier to take a minute to ourselves to rest and reset. And I would like you to take more time than just a minute to rest and reset, but I'm talking about when we're in the throes of the classroom and we feel like everything is out of control and things are going wrong, and it's things that we can't really control, but we're still stressing about them. Or you get an angry parent email or a phone call or whatever it might be. You can take a minute to rest and reset by recalling your favorite image and really being present to reproducing the way that that memory makes you feel. So rest and reset for November is my advice to you. And I think it's really important, especially with the holidays right around the corner. We need to utilize those strategies when we are meeting our family and we feel like we have to buy presents for everyone or whatever happens around the holidays that makes us all so crazy. I will continue to talk about rest and reset in the month of November. So stay tuned for my next episode, where I will be debriefing how the conference went and takeaways from that experience. And just a reminder that my website is live now. So you can go to www.themindfulteacherk12.com and find my links to this podcast, to my blogs, to my social media, to my teacher pay teacher stores. And just to remind you that I would love for some of you to send in some voice messages so I can answer them on the next podcast. So if you have any questions or you have any concerns or situational things that you'd like me to address or try to address, that I will do that to the best of my abilities. So send in some voice messages for the next podcast. And remember to subscribe to my podcast anywhere that you listen to your podcast so that I can gain more followers. Share the podcast to your favorite teacher or educator that is struggling to find grounding and rest and relaxation in this very stressful time of year. And